Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Eva Galperin, who is a global policy analyst at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, where she focuses on providing digital privacy and security for vulnerable populations. Previously, she worked at the U.S.-China Policy Institute, where she researched China's energy and internet policy. Welcome to Background Briefing, Eva Galperin.
Hi.
And Eva, the European Courts of Justice's decision against Google apparently requires the tech giant to enact a right to be left alone regime that would allow individuals to demand that Google remove content from their search engines that the complainant disapproves of or considers out of date. Is that your understanding?
Well, it's a little bit different from that. This really goes back to a EU data protection law, which includes a right of deletion. This right is generally assumed to grant the ability to remove information collected on individuals for business purposes. Until now, it had actually not been applied to public information indexed by search engines. But this is what we seem to be getting out of this new European Court of Justice ruling.
But is it in any way enforceable? I mean, does it require that Google is responsible? I mean, my understanding is that Google isn't really a publisher. They just provide research material, and that's what what their search engines are about. And yet they are being treated as a publisher of information that people can complain about and have deleted.
Well, the ECJ declared that the search engine was covered by the EU's data protection laws because its spidering involves the processing of personal data, and as such, that the plaintiff had the right to remove to demand that Google remove the story, even because the proceedings had already been resolved and the data was now irrelevant.
Well, I actually happen to know somebody whose career has been destroyed by what I think they call on the internet flaming. Somebody who has an obsession about this person has been posting the most outrageous stuff, and eventually contacted them, surreptitiously, and said, your agony will end if you just pay me off, which is known as extortion. And this person was not able to get that stuff removed, and can't get a job because if you Google her name, all you get is all this poisonous stuff. So there is no question that there aren't any clear rules of the road.
There are absolutely clear rules of the road, and especially in the United States, both the defamation and libel are illegal. And if someone is saying things about you on the internet which are not true, you can find their identity, sue them, and force them to take that information down. You may find that to be inconvenient or expensive or time-consuming, but the First Amendment errs on the side of free speech, and so it makes the hurdles to taking down somebody else's speech, especially criticism of you, very high, because your First Amendment right to free speech isn't really a First Amendment right to free speech unless you can say things that other people don't like. Now, there is no such thing as a First Amendment right to free speech in the EU or among the EU states, and European law tends to err on the side of privacy, specifically this EU privacy directive, which was passed a couple of years ago and which is sort of at the heart of this particular case. And so they have this thing that they refer to as the right to be forgotten. And this is a new interpretation of the right to be forgotten, in which the right to be forgotten includes the right to ask Google to remove links to things that you don't like about yourself that come up on a search for your name, which could really usher in an unprecedented era of censorship.
So In other words, the difference is that here in the United States, if there's something online about you that may be scandalous and somebody who's relentless and got nothing but time on the hand that can keep flaming you all the time, you have to spend a lot of money to get rid of them. But in Europe, the system is thrown – the weight is on the complainant who may find information in their past uncomfortable. And apparently it came from a Spanish lawyer, a property owner whose property was foreclosed on some time back and didn't want that information to be repeated. Is that what happened?
Something very similar to that happened.
Right.
The plaintiff, Mario Casteja Gonzalez, had some sort of real estate auction which had been listed in a paper. This was a real estate auction by the Spanish authorities, which was trying to recover recover money to pay his Social Security debts. He argued that this information was out of date since he had already resolved the problem, and therefore under the right of protection he should be able to have this information taken down. Now, instead of going to the newspaper and asking them to take it down, which actually he had no legal standing to do, he instead went to Google and asked them to take down the link, which the ECJ has just ruled he does in fact have the right to do. Ironically, none of us would know who this man is, or to be honest, anything about his debts, if it were not for this case. And I think it's actually a fantastic case of the Streisand effect. If he really wanted nobody to ever hear about his financial troubles again, this lawsuit was truly not the way to do it.
So again, I'm speaking with Eva Galperin, who's a global policy analyst at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, where she focuses on providing digital privacy and security for vulnerable populations. Previously, she worked at the U.S.-China Policy Institute, where she researched Chinese energy and internet policy. So when you have the Wikipedia founder Jimmy Wales describing this ruling as astonishing and saying it is one of the most wide-sweeping internet censorship rulings that I've ever seen, do you agree with that? Is there reason to be alarmed?
I think that this is very bad news for free speech on the internet. The very reason why the internet has been as successful as it has been is because it is a non-centralized system which routes around censorship. And so the European Court has chosen to sort of attack one of the choke points, and that choke point is the search engines, which index all of its content. If when you search for things in Europe from now on, instead of seeing a sort of honest accounting of what's out there, you see only the carefully curated content that the target of your search has chosen, I think that is an enormous blow not only to free speech but to freedom of information.
So in other words, you're not going to get the full menu. The whole idea of a search is that you get the good and the bad. And then, if you're a researcher, then you have to wade through it. So this is a way that people can sanitize their own records?
Absolutely. And while there are certainly situations under which I understand why people would want to have certain things about themselves taken down on the internet, it is not a clear-cut situation, because my embarrassing fact may be your poignant criticism. And leaving it up to Google to make this decision, I think, actually places enormous power in Google's hands. And I was surprised that the European Court of Justice would do so, because in Europe there's actually a tremendous sentiment against large corporations having so much power over user data and how we present ourselves online.
Well, Google may well have the power to decide based upon individuals' complaints, but who's going to pay for the actual work?
Well, it's not clear right now, but it appears that the court thinks that the onus should fall with Google and has asked Google not merely to review all of these complaints, but to generally err on the side of censorship, or as they call it, privacy, rather than free speech. And if Google, say, did not want to spend all of that money on reviewing what I imagine will be a sizable number of complaints, it would be much simpler for them to simply automatically censor everything, which I think would be an enormous blow to the World Wide Web.
So when you read complaints like in The Guardian from James Ball describing the ruling as either an eerie parallel with China's domestic censorship of search results or a huge incentive for tech investments to get the hell out of Europe, neither presumably is a remotely desirable result. Do you think that this is going to have a chilling effect and set Europe back as though they are not, you know, they're saying that they're, or at least the apologists for this ruling are saying that they're bringing the internet out of the Stone Age, but arguably other people are saying that we're actually putting them back in the Stone Age and reducing and impinging on their competitiveness.
I think that an internet in which we are not free to criticize one another, or at least free to get to the content in which we criticize one another, is not a free internet, and I think that's very problematic. I would not go so far as to draw parallels to the Chinese internet. I think that that's a bit hyperbolic, but it is certainly an incentive for the big search engines to get out of Europe and get out of the censorship business. Mostly, the search engines have made a very big deal about the fact that they're not interested in doing this sort of vetting of content. It's expensive and it's thorny and it's tricky. It's best to stay out of it as much as possible, and that's what they've really tried to do. And that's one of the reasons why Google's statement on the matter is that essentially boils down to, we're going to have our lawyers take a look at this and figure out what our obligations are under this ruling, because it looks really bad.
So, is there any elements of you know, a lot of people here in the United States? In fact, I think that in the last few days, has there not been demonstrations at Google's headquarters with its annual shareholding meeting? A lot of people have demonstrated on the basis of Google's membership in ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, and its membership in the Chamber of Commerce.
Google is really quite widely criticized all over the world, both in the United States and in Europe, but especially in Europe, where there is a very strong sentiment against private businesses having a say over so much of our private information. And I think that these demonstrations are really just sort of an outgrowth of that.
So, could you end up with something like, since I quoted from Jimmy Wales, the founder of Wikipedia, that's something that's a work in progress, isn't it? All that data can be challenged and eventually it sorts itself out, doesn't it? Is that the kind of regime that's being imposed on Google?
Well, right now it's really hard to tell, and even Google has gone so far as to say they're really not sure what their obligations are after this ruling. What Google is hoping is that this is not their obligation. But a worst-case scenario is one where they are inundated with, you know, millions and millions of requests by Europeans to take down links to information about themselves that they don't like, that they are forced to manually review with a lawyer to decide whether or not there's some sort of free speech issue that justifies keeping it up, or if it should be taken down, and that could potentially be very expensive, not to mention damaging to free speech.
Well, isn't it reasonable to assume, Eva Galperin, that most of the complaints will be basically, I mean, well, I'm in the press, and I can tell you, if you ever get interviewed by a reporter, you're never happy with the results. Nobody that I've ever met has ever been happy with a story that's been written about them. It's just the way it is. So isn't that what we're opening up here, this idea that people can basically write their own resumes?
In some ways, yes. There is a much, not much higher, there is a slightly higher bar for public officials, for people running for office, for people who are considered to be sort of, you know, part of public life. They have somewhat less of an ability to demand that every little thing that they don't like about themselves be taken down. But I think that on the internet, the the difference between being a public person and a private person is increasingly blurry, and so it's not really clear what kind of protections people are really going to have. And certainly in a worst-case scenario, all that you're going to see when you Google search somebody as a result of this ECJ ruling is the cleaned-up kind of best-case scenario Photoshop retouched vision of themselves that they want to project. And that's simply not honest.
But don't you think there's a potential for this becoming the norm?
I would be extremely worried if this were to become the norm. I think that if someone were to try this in the United States, it would be extremely problematic, and they would have an enormous hurdle to clear called the First Amendment. But I do think that there's a distinct possibility that this could become the norm in Europe, and this would be extremely worrying. And it is something that the EFF will fight both in Europe and certainly would fight if someone were to try to implement it here in the U.S.
So what Google, of course, is as you pointed out, they're trying to absorb this ruling now. What rights do they have? I mean, obviously there must be some appeal to this court.
I don't think that there is.
There's not.
That is the trouble. The European Court of Justice's ruling appears to be final, and it is not clear that there's any sort of route to appeal, which is one of the reasons why Google's lawyers are so worried.
And but yet there, so this court makes this edict seems very vague and somewhat arbitrary, and censorious, and it doesn't provide Google with a roadmap about how they're supposed to continue. But it implies that the onus is on Google to respond to people who are complaining, and that the onus is on them to fix it based upon these complaints. But there doesn't seem to be any mechanism for arbitration here.
Absolutely not. That is one of the reasons why this ruling is a disaster.
And do you think the justices are listening? I mean, how do you explain that a ruling that could be this disastrous could be that final? If there's no appeal, then what pushback is going to work?
Well, right now it's really not clear. I think that certainly the first thing that we're going to see is that Google is going to ask for some sort of clarification about exactly what it was that the European Court of Justice had in mind when they brought this ruling down. And in some ways they may be able to mitigate it as a result. But throughout Europe, and especially in places where the right to be forgotten is very popular, this is actually being viewed as a victory.
But how do people see that idea of the right to be forgotten in this case, where you know it's based upon a Spanish gentleman who complained that an auction notice of his repossessed home on Google's search results infringed his privacy. I mean, that's the case that was brought. Could you fill us in on why there is a broader sentiment about the right to be left alone and exactly what that means?
All right. Well, you know, with the caveat that I don't think that the right to be forgotten is a particularly good idea, but I think that it is a compelling one precisely because everybody has had that feeling of there being something out there on the internet that they wish they could take back, that casts them in an unflattering light, whether it is an unattractive picture or somebody's rant about you or a, you know, not particularly successful interview. And I think that the right to be forgotten really tapped into this particular feeling. It also taps into a very strong sentiment in Europe against these large internet companies and who have made a business out of selling users' personal data. That is an extremely unpopular thing in Europe, and so it's really not surprising that we've seen sort of jurisprudence move in this direction. But up until now, the right to be forgotten had been thought to be aimed at sort of the business rather than just every little thing that you don't like
right.
about you that somebody posts to the internet that you cannot get taken down legally because the content itself is perfectly legal.
Well, I think there's a lot of people in this country that aren't happy with the fact that these data miners make money out of you and me. I mean, they monetize us, but we don't get anything out of it. I mean, that's a fundamental issue, I think, that needs to be addressed. And but this feels to me like, I mean, in life you don't get a do-over,
Well, certainly this is not the way to do it.
Yeah, and the idea that you're going to turn everybody into kind of a celebrity who has PR people out there to rewrite history, you know?
I think it's extremely problematic, but really it comes down to very different views about free speech in the United States rather than in Europe. European law has much stronger protections for privacy, whereas American law has much stronger protections for free speech. And so while, in the U.S. we think, hey, it sucks that sometimes people say things about you that you don't like online, but, free speech isn't free if you don't allow people to say things you don't like.
Right.
In Europe, that sentiment is not nearly as strong, and it's often overshadowed by this feeling that you should be able to protect your own data.
Well, Eva Galperin, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Eva Galperin, who's a global policy analyst at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, where she focuses on providing digital privacy and security for vulnerable populations. Previously, she worked at the U.S.-China Policy Institute, where she researched Chinese energy and internet policy. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back looking into the political and military stalemate in Syria.